twisted his arm to get him on here during his vacation. He just got home. Congressman Ron Paul, we've got you for 18 minutes. Thank you for coming on.
Good. Good to be with you again. And don't call this a vacation. You know I do work when I'm in Texas. Sometimes they make me work harder here than in Washington.
Actually, I know that you march and drive from rally to rally. I know that. You're the hardest working man in Congress.
Yeah, we get around and try to talk to our people, trying to find out what they're thinking about. And you talk to a lot of people every day, so you know pretty much what the people are thinking.
Well, you know what they're talking about. You've been talking about it for decades. The American Union is now being admitted. Secret deals now public. 80-plus NAFTA highways. Congressman, give us your take on that.
Yeah, and I see all of that connected to the two main issues I've talked about, our foreign policy, our stupid foreign policy, as well as our monetary policy, which helps to finance all this. But I think the goal is one world government, and you've seen it coming, and you've warned about it. You know, we have not only the UN, we have the WTO, we have the IMF, the World Bank, and then we have all these subsidiaries like NAFTA and hemispheric governments, highways coming in. I just hope and pray that we can wake up enough people. There are some days when I'm at home, I'm more encouraged than when I'm in Washington, you know, because people here in Texas in particular are awakening to this. They certainly got the attention of a lot of people on the immigration issue, but it seems like nothing really changes. We might get their ear and they might say a few things and hold things up a little bit, but ultimately they just sort of, as soon as it quiets down, they go ahead and do what they want. So
the good news is the people are waking up. The bad news is the government juggernaut is just rolling forward.
Yeah, I think it's so well entrenched, and there are a lot of things that don't change easily. You know, I've always argued the constitutional foreign policy of non-intervention and staying out of the internal affairs of others. To shift that gears, boy, that is a major task to get people thinking differently. And a monetary issue, you know, to shift gears there, if you don't do it correctly, it can actually, in the short run, make things worse for us.
In fact, let's get into the economic situation. What is Ron Paul, and you've had a great gauge in the past, Bernanke saying he's going to print money even faster, a doubling of money supply in the next 6 years, maybe even sooner. What's happening with inflation they're trying to hide? What do you see happening?
Well, I think it's going to get worse. And the analogy I draw to what Bernanke is doing, you know, he's tinkering a little bit with raising interest rates, but they're still way below the inflation rates. So therefore, it's a negative interest rates, and they're not achieving anything. It's sort of like a doctor treating an infection and giving a little bit of penicillin, and then the bacteria adapts to it, and it becomes immune, and the medication doesn't do any good, and you need more and, you know, longer and longer, and
actually
eventually
makes
the medicine doesn't even work.
Actually makes it worse, yeah.
Yeah, and so what Bernanke is doing with this tinkering around and trying to save a system, I think he's just building a bigger problem, a bigger financial bubble, and I think this dollar crisis is on the horizon, and yet we still can't predict when that's going to happen. It's when it comes when the foreigners get tired of taking our paper money.
The Financial Times of London and other respected publications that I've noticed are good bellwethers are saying any time in the next year to 2 years, we could see a total implosion of the dollar.
I think that's possible. I wouldn't bet all my savings on it, but I'd certainly work to protect myself against it, assuming that's the case. But, of course, I've worried about this for many years, so I started buying things like gold and silver when gold was $35 an ounce. So even though there wasn't a total implosion, it wasn't too bad protection. You know, they've devalued the money tremendously in those years, although it's not been catastrophic. The end stages of a paper currency usually is catastrophic. If you just recall how the peso goes in Mexico and these other countries, it's a loss of confidence, and they race from the currency, and then you have runaway inflation.
Well, we've seen a 97% devaluation of the dollar in the last 106 years since 1900, and we've seen most of that devaluation in the last 10 years.
Yes, but there's a significant change in the depreciation of the money from 1971, of course, when we got off the last bit of the gold standard that we have. But you're right, in the last 10, 15 years, there's been a tremendous increase. So we're sort of on one of these escalating curves, and it's not likely to go down for a long time.
Congressman, what do you think is most important right now? What are a few of the issues you want to impart to the listenership?
Well, the ultimate goal is to preserve individual liberty, which means to restrain big government. So there's a lot of issue there. As far as issues go, I would say immigration is top of the list right now, protecting our borders, which is the not a strong desire on our administration to do this. At the same time, we're designing a policy where we're draining this country of money and personnel by spreading ourselves around the world. So where we have our troops and money and everything overseas and building buildings overseas at the same time neglecting our border security, I think that's the big one, because that is also intertwined with our deficits. They have these huge expenditures overseas. Today I had someone in my office and they showed me what we're doing in Washington is that we're cutting things like cancer research. Now, I happen to believe that under the Constitution, cancer research could be handled in a different way, but I have a great deal of sympathy for those programs over what we're doing overseas and foreign aid. You know, we don't have to cut cancer research or veterans.
Certainly. I mean, they're cutting some of the better government programs that could be argued, even though they're not constitutional, or at least more palatable and good for the public welfare versus, some construction deal given to the Saudis.
Yeah, or building an embassy in Baghdad that's bigger than the Vatican.
Let me shift gears to property, because that is part of the economy. Going on in Piscataway Way, New Jersey, land valued publicly just at tax roll prices at over $70 million. The local city is stealing it and not even saying they're going to give any money to the family, and they admit that they're using environmental reasons to grab it. It's just a farm, and they're saying that they're going to give it to private developers. We're now seeing stuff even worse than New London, sir, on a weekly basis. Give us your take on the attack on property rights.
Well, that's been steady. I don't think we really own our property, and I've been arguing that for several decades, because although we have title to it, we have liability and responsibilities to keep it going and pay a huge amount of taxes. But if we don't pay the tax and follow the regulations, we can't use our land. And just think how FEMA and Fish and Wildlife and OSHA and EPA, we have to get all these permits before we even can dig a ditch or drain our land or do anything.
Exactly. But, Congressman, my question is, from my perspective, things are getting into kind of a hyper-orgy of government stealing with corporations that aren't free market backing up, using government as their arm. I mean, you're in Washington. Is it just my perception, or would you say it's accurate that it seems like things are progressively, exponentially going wild?
They are, and it's part of the military-industrial complex. It's part of the Halliburton control over government. Halliburton not only benefits from the military spending, but think about how Halliburton got those no-bid contracts for Katrina relief, hurricane relief through FEMA. So, yes, I think that it is out of control. But the important thing is in arguing this case, the socialists all say, see what capitalism does to us. See this Halliburton, they're capitalists, which we have to refute, because they are not true free market people at all. These are people who are in bed with the government, and they're in cahoots with the government, and they live off the government, and free markets don't work that way.
Well,
free markets put a lot of pressure on business people to provide a good service at the right price. That's what they are supposed to do.
Well, it's fascism, isn't it?
It's fascism when the government and big business gets together, and you know what happened in Europe, 50 years or so ago, that when they did that, the fascism is very dangerous. And I think we have sort of a soft fascism. Usually, people think of fascism with a strong militancy.
Stay there, Congressman. We got a break. Final segment with you after this quick break. Final segment with Congressman Ron Paul. We appreciate him joining us today. You can link through to his congressional website and his Liberty Committee as well at Infowars.com right now. Congressman, when Democrats are in, we see the evil of government with a Democratic face. And when Republicans are in, oh, it's all the Republicans. I see it with each administration just getting progressively worse, because the system itself is getting worse. President Bush has said he's above the law on over 750 issues. He's said he's above the law. Now I see locals saying they're above the law. The Fuhrer precept is now being picked up. Can you speak to this above the law business?
Yeah, I think that is the basic problem. It's more than just one individual. It is pervasive, and it's the lack of respect for the rule of law. And the rule of law, as far as the federal government is concerned, is the Constitution and our oath of office. So I take that very seriously. But the members of Congress, rationalize everything. They were taught throughout their public school education that the Constitution is a living, flexible document, should adapt to modern times, and you shouldn't be held overly rigid to this rule of law. So Congress has generously ignored the Constitution. The president flaunts it, and the courts have ignored it, and they get in the business of legislating. So there's no respect for the rule of law, and they think that maybe on just one or two occasions they can do this, but all you have to do is once and establish the principle, because if you can reject one part of the Constitution without amending it, you can reject any part. And over
well, it's snowballing.
Yeah, now it's wholesale. It's routine. And the principle is well established now that you don't have to follow the Constitution. When the president, you know, signs all these bills and have these statements afterwards that, well, I have no intention of following it, he's in a way signing it and vetoing. So in his mind, he's vetoing a lot of bills. In our mind, under the rule of law, he hasn't vetoed a thing. He's going to decide what he's going to enforce and not enforce.
What do you see happening with the impeachment of Bush coming up if the Democrats win control? Do you think they'll win the House and Senate or either one? What do you see happening in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they win both, but they're probably going to win one body. And if they win the House, right now they do not say they would have an impeachment, but I think the way that place operates, I think they probably will make every effort. Now, if they win it by one vote, maybe not, but if they'd happen to have a 10 or 15 vote margin, it would be a political thing. They wouldn't be, you know, holier than thou type thing. It would be payback time.
Does President Bush deserve to be impeached for the things he's done?
Well, I would have trouble arguing that he has been a constitutional president, and once you violate the Constitution and can be proven to do that, I think these people should be removed from office.
A bold statement from you, Congressman, but your views are wildly popular here in Texas. In fact, if you look at the polls nationally and the Constitution, what you're doing is popular. Why can't we get more members of Congress like yourself?
I don't know why. I think the message is very powerful, and I think when you defend free markets and you defend personal liberty and privacy and defend the Constitution and propose a foreign policy that was designed by the founders of this country, if you ask the general questions of the American people, they say, yeah, that sounds really great.
Last question, Congressman. We're out of time here. I appreciate you joining us. The Iran situation, what do you see happening there? And what do you see happening in Iraq? How long will we be there?
Oh, Iraq, endlessly. I don't see us coming home. I think that a lot more people are going to get killed on both sides, and it will come home probably when we go bankrupt. And I think the neocons still have a great deal of influence on the administration, and that I wouldn't be surprised within a year or two we will be in a military conflict over there, too.
So you think they're going into Iran?
I don't think they'd do it the same way with Iraq, because hopefully they learned a little bit. But I think they'll confront them and bomb.
And then maybe grab some of the western areas?
Yeah, something like that. But just enough to further endanger ourselves, because that will be just more motivation to come after us as terrorists.
Congressman, thank you for joining us.
Okay, very good.